Welcome to XP Ministries. This recording is under copyright laws and cannot be replicated. This file is licensed for one user only and cannot be duplicated without written permission. We pray that this recording will bless and empower you.
Okay, if you can turn in your lesson outline to lesson six, we are going to be looking at the subject of the rewards of holiness. I love this subject. I'm a holiness freak. I just love being set apart for God. And so we're going to look at the subject and its importance in regards to spiritual encounter. So first of all, what is holiness? Number one, to be holy means to be set apart for God and His purposes. Once something or someone has been declared holy, it is no longer to be used for mundane purposes. Holiness means set apartness, sacredness. It includes moral purity and purification. So when we're walking a holy life, we're walking a separated life unto God. That's why we can't have our foot in two worlds. It doesn't work to have a love for the world and its vices and everything, and a love for the kingdom. You can't serve two masters. You have to choose which one you're going to serve, and especially in this hour, because they're getting further and further apart. And so we want to make sure that our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our affections, every part of us is set apart for the Lord. Number two, it is anything that is set apart, anything that is set apart as holy belongs to God and is for His purpose. So your mind belongs to Him. Your hands belong to Him. Your feet belong to Him. Your passions belong to Him. Your mouth belongs to Him. Every part of you belongs to Him when you are, when you're walking in holiness. Holiness is not what you do, but it is who you are. A lot of times people think that holiness is accomplished by fulfilling a list of do's and staying away from the list of don'ts. Like, if you're going to be holy, you need to do this, 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 and this. And you don't do this, 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 and this, and this. And if you do this and don't do this, then you'll be holy. But holiness has nothing to do with that. It's a condition of the heart. And it is a work of the Spirit that we'll see later that sets you apart for the heart of God and for the purposes of God. And it's not obeying like a code of ethics or a code of rules. When you're walking in holiness, you will automatically do what God loves because that's the nature of holiness. You will automatically hate what He hates because that's the nature of holiness. And I want more and more and more of the Spirit of holiness on my life. I want to be more and more filled with the Spirit of holiness, because when you're set apart for God, that means you're set apart for His glory. You're set apart for His miracles. You're set apart for His presence. You're set apart for the activities of heaven, all that He is and all that He has. How many of you want to be set apart for the fullness of Him? Whereas if you are not walking in holiness, then you are actually giving your affections over to other things, and you'll partake of those things and those powers instead of the glory of the divine. And so holiness is amazing. Holiness is a spirit, part of God's spiritual nature. It says in Romans 1:4, and Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So it's the Spirit of holiness, and the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, not the worldly spirit, not a lustful spirit, not a evil spirit, but the Holy Spirit. And we are to be holy as He is holy. Okay, so how do we become holy then? If we're to be holy, how are we to become holy? First of all, it is God Himself that makes us holy. He sets us apart for Himself in spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 says, and the very God of peace sanctify, or make holy. The word sanctify is the same as being holy, same with consecration, to be set apart. Sanctify you holy. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calls you, who also will do it. And so we've been called by the Lord. We accepted that call. We invited him in. And when we come to Christ, his nature is holy, and he sets us apart. When we say yes to him, he sets us apart for himself. He makes us holy. Secondly, Jesus Christ is our holiness, and he sanctifies us. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification or holiness and redemption. So Jesus Christ is your holiness. He was 100% perfectly set apart for God. And when he walked in his human body in the earth, when he walked in his physical body in the earth, he walked in perfect holiness. When he died on the cross, he gave everyone who believes in him that holiness. So you have his holiness. So often we strive, we say, oh, I want to be holy. I want to be holy. If only I do more of this, or if I could do more of that, or if I just, you know, maybe fasted another 50 days or something, then I would be holy. But holiness is not a work of the flesh. It has to be received by faith. But the more you receive by faith and the more you understand about this, the more set apart you will be in the manifestation of set apartness in your life. When you acknowledge what Jesus has already done for you and that he accomplished perfection of holiness and he gave that holiness to you, and you start drinking of that and receiving that by faith, you'll manifest more holiness. You'll find that more and more of your thoughts will want to be directed only for God, that your actions only for God, that your speech only for God. We were having some time with a young person recently who's really on fire for the Lord, but their language was very foul. And I know that, you know, I've talked to even a number of ministers who have differences of opinion on that. And I spoke to one recently who just said, well, you know, you've got to reach the younger generation. You know, if you're going to reach them, you got to speak their language, and this is their language. But I honestly don't think that we have to have corrupt communication released to prove a point. Like, what is that going to tell the world? It's going to speak that, well, you can have mixture. And so we want to make sure our language is clean. I remember a number of years ago, this minister of the gospel, he got up in a pulpit and said some words that are known to be swear words, unclean words. They represented, I'll tell you what they represented. One of them represented a pile of poop. And another one represented a sexual act. And said it right from the pulpit. And I approached him afterwards and I said, you know, I'm disgusted with this. And I said, you're standing in the pulpit representing God and using words that he would never use. And he says, well, words are just neutral. And I said, you're a minister of the gospel and you say words are neutral? Words will create or destroy your life. And when you start, you know, using the pulpit to release, you know, filth and things that everyone knows what these words mean, it's not like, you know, something that should be used to promote the Lord's heart. And he says, well, they're young people. They all talk that way. You know, you got to relate to the younger generation. I thought, no, with sin. I minister to heroin addicts, but I don't shoot up. I minister to prostitutes, but I don't sell myself, you know? And so when you look at Jesus was perfect. He related to everybody, but remained inside of the perfection of his heart that was set apart for God. And so that's where we're headed. We want to be like him. We want to be full of power and full of his pleasure. We don't want to be, you know, full of mixture. Do you know that Ahab was called the most wicked king of Israel? And he was a man of huge compromise. And he allowed idolatry and sexual acts to be done in the temple and all that kind of stuff. And he married Jezebel, so then there was a greater unholy alliance. But by the way, Ahab was called a wicked king before he ever got married. So it wasn't Jezebel that made him wicked. He had a wicked heart, and wicked attracts wicked. And, you know, and so, because I've heard people preach that poor little Ahab, he was just this wimpy little character that got overpowered by Jezebel. Come on, read your Bible. He was a wicked king because his heart had departed from the Lord. He lost that position of holiness, that set apartness for God and for what God wanted. And so there was actually a lot of supernatural things taking place in Ahab's day, but the source was perverted because of his compromise. It wasn't pure source. Do you know that the prophets of Baal that served in Ahab and Jezebel's rule, they didn't start out as occultic prophets. They started out as God's prophets. But under the rule, the evil rule of their king, there was more and more compromise. They compromised more and more so that instead of being a spokesperson for the Lord, that's what prophets are, spokespeople for the Lord, they became spokespeople for Baal because they lost their holiness. They lost their set apartness and they compromised a little bit here and a little bit there. And you know, if you don't watch over your heart with all diligence and keep it before the Lord and keep him as you know, the love of your life, you'll end up compromising just like in Ahab's day where those prophets stopped, instead of representing the heart of God, they started representing the standards of their culture, which was in that day, it was a big sexual orgy culture, much like it's becoming today. And it became very corrupt. And the prophets of God started letting down their guard a little bit more and a little bit more. So they started promoting, using their prophetic influence, they started promoting Baal's purposes rather than God's. And I feel that we could be in danger of doing that in this hour. I believe that we could be in danger of calling good evil and evil good because we've departed, our heart departs from the Lord. When you start saying, oh yeah, stand up in front of a bunch of youth and say, you know, this bad word, this bad word, this bad word, the kids will like it. What you're actually becoming is a spokesperson for a spirit of perversion. When you stand up in the name of God and say, we're opening the doors of our church for homosexual marriage and ordination and stuff like that, as much as I love the homosexual, I take a stand saying that that action, that activity is forbidden within the scripture. And the reason why I would hate the activity is because I know it will hurt you. That's why God says, thou shalt not. Is it because he wants to kill our joy or something? No, it's because he wants to give us joy. He knows, because he's our creator, what will cause this machine to work well, and he knows what will destroy it. So when he says thou shalt not, it's because he wants you to have a good life. It's not to take away pleasure from you, it's to keep you in the pleasure that you were created for. And so the reason why I would take a stand with God against the homosexual acts of perversion, even though I love the homosexuals, I love them, but the act, I would say, I'm crying for you inside. I'm bleeding for you inside because I know this thing's going to take you down. I know the outcome. God's word is truth. And when he says thou shalt not, when he says it's going to hurt you, he means it's going to hurt you. And I don't want you deceived by this. It might feel good for the moment, but it's going to destroy you in the end. But when we start getting up in a pulpit and saying it's okay, God loves, you know, this, and it's okay, you know, to live in a homosexual lifestyle, it's okay be ordained and be a homosexual and preach and stuff like that. It's like what we're doing is we're becoming a spokesperson for Baal. We're becoming a prophet for Baal rather than for God. You see what's happening in our hour? What is causing that? It's a lack of consecration, a lack of the spirit of holiness, a lack of love for holiness. And if we're going to go out and love the world around us, it's not about going out and condemning sinners. Oh my gosh. Don't you just hate that when you see that? You know, have you ever been out on the streets and seeing preachers out there just condemning sinners and, you know, saying you're going to go to hell if you don't repent? And, you know, and it's like there's no love in it. There's no care in it. You can tell the heart's not set apart for God because God is love. There's no holiness there. They're set apart for religion. They're set apart for condemnation, but not set apart for God. And it's the same as if we preach unrighteousness or self-righteousness. It's the same. The problem is that we're lacking holiness, the set-apartness of our heart, our mind, and our body for God. And God is willing to fill us with His Spirit. He is willing to do the work if we will come into agreement with Him. All we have to do is say, this is what we want, and God will give it to us. Amen? Okay, the Holy Spirit let me go back to the second point there. Let's look at Hebrews 13:12. It says, for both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So Jesus sanctifies, and we are the sanctified, and so we're brought into oneness with him. Isn't that wonderful? And it says, wherefore Jesus also... That was Hebrews 2:11, I'm sorry. And this is Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So we've been sanctified by the blood. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit also makes us holy, sanctifies us. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, and such for some of you, but you were washed, you are sanctified, that you are justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And again, the Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit. Okay, number four, the Word sanctifies us. John 17:17-19. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy Word is truth. In our last lesson, we talked about the Word of God and the different attributes of the Word of God. And I failed to mention there that Jesus himself is the Word. He is the Word. And so everything that we have as far as communication is an expression of his heart. It's an expression of who he is. He is God's communication to man, the person of Jesus Christ. Okay, and also in Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And then point number five is we sanctify ourselves. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. 1 Peter 1:5-16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That means lifestyle. In all manner of lifestyle, be holy. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So this is a huge emphasis within the scripture. We first of all find that God himself makes us holy. Secondly, Jesus is involved in this work of sanctification. The Holy Spirit is involved in the sanctification. The Word sanctifies, and we ourselves are to sanctify ourselves. We are to make that choice so that when we make that choice, the power of God in His Word, in His presence, and the Spirit comes upon us and does the work. Number six, at our rebirth, our spirit was made holy. So your spirit man is holy, blameless, without sin, no sickness, no demonization, no flaw. Your spirit man inside of you is holy. We were saved and we're given a new life that is in the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, which we looked at in a previous session. Number seven, our soul and body, and we discussed the three parts. We've got the spirit, which has been born again, the soul and the body. Our soul and body are to submit to the gift of that new life within us that was created in holiness. And we're taught in the scripture to put on the new man. In other words, don't walk in that carnal nature, because you by faith can walk in the new nature, which is according to holiness. And so let's walk in that holy way. Put on this new man, and the soul and the body will then also manifest holiness. Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So you see there where it's a gift. It's not something you strive for. It's a gift of his presence inside of you, the new creation that God has made within you. Number eight, holiness is chosen by our will out of relationship with God. Because we love him, and enjoy fellowship with him as set apart ones, we learn to love what he loves and we hate what he hates. Remember, holiness is not a set of rules that are obeyed. This is a heart issue that is born out of relationship. When we understand and walk in our set apartness by faith and in a love relationship, we will do the things that we see our Father do. Because it's the flow of that love relationship. We will love and embrace the very things that he loves, and we will hate the things that he dislikes. We will share his heart and thus manifest his holiness in our spirit, soul, and body. Now, I want to call you all into that place, because we're all in different places in our Christian walk. Many of us are just in a place of where we've learned the scriptures over the years. We go to church on Sunday. We go to a Bible study midweek. And, you know, we've gone through the motions. And then the rest of our life is just kind of normal life. We might, some of us go to work. Some of us go to school. We might, you know, all have, different clubs that we belong to or whatever. We have this life. But what God's saying is no matter what your lifestyle is, no matter what kind of meetings you go to, beyond all that, would you just come to me? Would you set yourself apart for me? Would you understand your complete belonging in me? Would you allow me to be the complete focus of your life so that everything you do, you see, I can work hard because I don't work out of sweat. I work out of pleasure. It's like, it's not like a toil where you have to sweat, because we've been redeemed from that. I don't believe that Christians need to work in that sense. If you're at a secular place of employment, that's not like toil, sweat. You don't work to get your living. Your living is God. He supplies all your needs. You don't have to work to get your living. You work at that workplace as a mission field out of pleasure, of being there as a light in the midst of darkness. That is your mission field, to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. When you get your paycheck, that's not something you've earned because you give yourself into that workplace. That's something that your employer blesses you back with, but it comes from God. And you know what? If they fail to pay you, you can still go to Father and receive what you need, because you're not under the curse of sin from the Old Testament. You've been set free. I don't work because I have to. I get to. I get to labor with the Lord. There isn't one thing that I do that I don't love doing. I love it. I choose to love it. I just probably hour by hour and day by day, I probably put in more hours of labor than most people in this room. But I don't see it as work. I love it because I'm set apart for him. So everything I do in him. If I'm teaching like I am right now, I teach for him. If I'm licking stamps in the back room, I do that for him. And when I'm washing dishes, I do it for him. Whatever, it's like he is involved. When I watch, you know, Law and Order, I watch it with him, you know. When I go bowling, it's like I don't exclude him, because the spirit of holiness sets you apart in everything you do. It doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing. You never divide up your life like that. It's all about him. And you live according to the kingdom 100% of the time. You never divide it up or divide it off. Well, this is my Sunday time with God, but the rest of the time is mine. When you're in the spirit of holiness, it's all set apartness for him. It's awesome. When you go and eat out at a restaurant, it's like it's such a wonderful experience because he's there. It's awesome. Everything you do, that's what the spirit of holiness does. And when you get to know him in that way, you start to love what he loves. Have you ever watched a television program and all of a sudden there's something so terrible, like you just grieve on the inside because you know it sickens him and it sickens you, because you're one and the same, right? You're both the same. You hate what he hates and you love what he loves. At the same time, maybe you hear a testimony of someone doing a really loving, kind act, and you get all warm and excited on the inside because you know it brings pleasure to him, and it brings pleasure to you because you're one with him. That's what the spirit of holiness is. And it's really important when you are longing for spiritual encounter, experience in the glory dimensions, that you are set apart for God. Because like when you encounter things like, I'll give you an example. When I was in Palm Springs just a couple weeks ago, there was gemstones falling in the meeting, and I went to pick one up. I saw this little sliver. It looked like, excuse me, it looked like a piece of plastic actually on the ground. It looked like a little splinter of plastic on the ground. I went to pick it up, and when I put it in my palm, it turned into a gemstone. It is amazing. I've actually got the gemstone, and I just love it. But it's not about worshiping that gemstone. Right away, I started crying. I just started crying, and I started worshiping because I thought, God, you're so good. This is amazing. I just had a real, true miracle happen right before my eyes. I felt it. I saw it. All I could do is worship him. Why? Because I'm clothed in a spirit of holiness. I'm set apart for him. I'm not set apart for a gemstone. Later on, someone took a picture of the gemstone, and inside the gemstone was this scroll in the picture, outlined by this aqua-colored light and a little bit of purple in it. And I looked at it once again. It was like, oh, Father. I didn't worship the scroll. I enjoyed the scroll, but my heart just delighted in the Lord. Now, if you don't have the spirit of holiness, you could land up worshiping a sign, a wonder, an experience. It's the spirit of holiness that keeps your heart in love with him. Keeps your heart set apart for him. We're not set apart for signs and wonders. We're not set apart for encounter. We're set apart for him. That's the spirit of holiness. And also, the source of everything. If you're just after encounter and only encounter, but you're not set apart for him, you can go into error. Because if you're in love with encounter and you're just set apart for a sign, a wonder, a miracle, whatever, and that's all you're pursuing. I just want miracles. I just want miracles. I just want to see the power. I just want to see this. I want to see that. But your heart isn't set apart for him. You can get into error because there can be an idolatry there for the very thing that would, if you were in holiness, would have led you into a deeper relationship with God. Instead, you could be led into idolatry. Does that make sense? And so the spirit of holiness is huge. So what I want to encourage you in is to make sure you're wholly set apart for God. W-H-O-L-L-Y. With everything in you saying, God, I just want to be completely set apart for you. When I was with the Holy Spirit as he was giving the glory school to me, he gave it to me through dictation, actually. It was just every day just showing me more things and leading me into different things. I just said, Lord, I just want to love what you love. I want to hate what you hate. Show me what you love. And he started revealing things to me like, well, I love it when my children love each other. I said, well, I'm committing myself to that one then, because I love you. It reminded me of when Ron and I first got married. I wanted to always make him for dinner the things that he loved, you know. And so I would cook up the, you know, I thought, what do you want today? What would make you feel really, you know, happy today if I made you something? And he'd say spaghetti or something. So that's what I would make him, because that's what I knew he wanted. That's what I knew would bring him pleasure. That's how the spirit of holiness works. Now Ron, he gets Kraft dinner sometimes. And not because I wouldn't want to make him. Actually, sometimes he gets a piece of cheese. Actually, most of the time he makes dinner now. Because I don't know if I believe in making meals anymore. But I still love them. But the Holy Spirit, he's your holiness mentor. And he will mentor you in what he loves and in what he hates. I just love that he says, I love faith. I love it when I see my children walking in faith. And I say, well, I'm going to be a big believer for you then. You know, but it's all out of relationship. He says, I love it when I see my children happy. I love it when I see children in that childlike faith, just entering into the things of God, just like a little child. I love that. And I said, well, I'm going to give you that then. Whatever you want, I want to give you, because I'm in love with you. And I want you to be happy, and I want to see joy on your face. You know, he loves to give us things that put joy on our face, but I want to see what I can do to put joy on his face. And that's what the spirit of holiness will do for you. The spirit of holiness just makes you just want to make him happy, want to give him what he's looking for. And so in your notes, you have some of the things that God loves, some of the things that God hates. You know, he hates pride and haughtiness. And it says he actually resists the proud. Get that one. Whoa. That should make us want to hate pride, right? False witnesses, people who spread strife, he hates that. He said he hates one who spreads strife. Whoa. He hates immorality, impurity, sensuality. He hates idolatry, sorcery, enmities. That's hatred. Strife. He hates strife. I refuse strife. I refuse it because he hates it. I will not get in strife with a brother. I will not strive. I will not, because I know he hates it. And I will not hurt him in that way. So we can make these decisions. Lord, I just want to love what you love. I want to hate what you hate. He hates worldly-mindedness. He hates fornication. He hates hardness of heart. He hates religious spirits. He hates unbelief and disobedience. He hates unforgiveness. He hates coarse jesting and uncleanness. He hates self-righteousness. I just want to stay away from the things that he hates. Not because I have to do that in order to win some brownie points. It's just out of relationship. That's what the spirit of holiness is all about. And there's tremendous rewards when you choose holiness. There's amazing rewards. Some of them are in the scriptures outlined in your notes for you. Psalm 45, 6 and 7. When you walk in holiness, you're anointed with the oil of joy. You ascend unto the hill of the Lord. You will see the Lord. Everlasting life. You'll have a shining face. You'll know the appearance of glory. You'll have your heart established in God. You'll experience kingdom power. You'll know the beauty of holiness. You'll become a sent one. The temple will fill with glory. That's your body. You'll experience victory and success. You'll see wonders. You'll be chosen to bring forth special purposes. You'll be prepared as a bride. You'll be prepared to enjoy heavenly glory, and you'll be blessed with heavenly blessing to the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills. Glory to God. Awesome. And we're a holy people, and I believe that this company of those who walk in the supernatural are going to be known for purity. They're going to be known for holiness. They're going to be known as a people who will not compromise. You know, the scripture says that God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that is what he is going to reap. And the glory and the supernatural dimension of the kingdom of God is all about his presence. And if you walk away from holiness, if you don't embrace that set apartness, you will lose the presence. Just like Eli and his sons. Eli was a priest, but his sons were committing lawless deeds. They were involved in sexual things and parties and carousing and worldly stuff, and they were defiling things in the temple, and they were careless in their priesthood, even though they were priests. And Eli, he was not doing the things his sons were doing, but he didn't bring them into line either. He didn't bring forth that plumb line of set apartness for God in the lives of his sons, and he just allowed it to happen. You know what that cost Israel? It cost Israel the ark. The ark was stolen by the Philistines because of a careless priesthood, because the priesthood failed to walk and set apartness before God. And so I don't want to lose the ark. I want the ark of his presence. I want to, all the days of my life, enjoy the presence of God. And so I want to walk and live in this set apartness. If it's our desire, the Spirit of God will do the rest. If we constantly desire that from the heart, then the Spirit will come and do the work. Isn't that awesome? The kingdom is always easy. So how many of you would like this as we're moving forward into spiritual encounter and glory encounter? How many of you want to live in and walk in that set apartness? How many of you right now feel that you're walking in a dimension of maybe double standards, you know, that you got one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom, a little bit of compromise here, a little bit of compromise there. Oh, well, you know, It's just the way it is. I love this. I can't stop. You know, I can't stop doing this. I love that habit too much. I love this one. I love swearing. I love, you know. And it's like we just choose to follow what our flesh loves instead of what He loves. And God wants us today to settle something in the Spirit. And when you yield your heart to Him and say, oh God, I want to be holy as You are holy. Come, Spirit of holiness, come. Then He will come. And He will release you into the fullness of His holiness. That's His work. He will do it. And every time you read the Word, every time the Word's quickened to you, you'll be more and more sanctified in those areas that He reveals to you unto Him. So we're going to pray a prayer. It's actually in your notes on the bottom of page 31. And we're going to pray it out together. And if you're watching by DVD, you can pray this out also. Just say it out. It's right in your notes. If you have the notes, and if not, just bow your head and pray along with us in your heart. Let's start right now. Father, I thank You that You have called me by name to know, to love, and to serve You. This is a wonderful and very awesome invitation. With all my heart, I dedicate my spirit, soul, and body to You, Holy Father. And I invite You to perform Your sanctifying work in my life. I draw close into relationship and fellowship with You in the Holy Spirit. Teach me to love what You love and hate what You hate. Help me to experience a rich and glorious relationship with You. Grant unto me a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Christ, His holiness, His love, and His wisdom, that I might be filled with all the fullness of Your heavenly glory. Thank You, Father. Accept my life as a sacrifice that will bring forth a sweet aroma of Your presence in every place. In Jesus' name, I dedicate myself unto Your holiness. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, what I'd like you to do is date this, write the date of saying that prayer, and this will give you something to go back to and say, no, on that day, I set myself apart completely for God. And once you're set apart for Him, you can't be used in mundane purposes. Everything you do is for His glory. Whether it's making a bowl of soup, changing a tire, serving some root beer at the restaurant you work at, whatever it is, everything you do now is for His glory. Everything. Isn't that wonderful? And as you look for more and more and more expressions of that in your life, you'll see more and more of His glory. You'll see more and more of the supernatural because that's where your focus is. Glory to God. Well, Father, we thank You for the time that You've given us today together in school, in the school of the Holy Spirit. And we ask, Lord God, that You would continue to strengthen us throughout this evening as we spend time with You and review the things that You're showing us, and that we will be soaked in Your power and in Your presence. Lord, every time that we look to You, every time that we think on You, Lord God, that You would fill us more and more. So in the name of Jesus, we thank You, we honor You, and we praise You. Amen.
For more information about Patricia King and XP Media, visit us online at xpmedia.com. We look forward to building relationship with you. xpmedia.com.